The story of the disappeared has dominated the news this week. We have heard of the hopelessness victims' families have felt after they found out their loved ones had been murdered and secretly buried by the IRA. On yesterday's show, Jean McConville's son Michael made a link to another family who understand that pain only too well.
The same things happened in the 70s, but recent times it happened again in the Lula side. That young girl from Bangor, no one's ever, I haven't heard any politician even coming out and trying to get that wee girl's body back as well, Lisa Dorian. It is a disgrace. And if there's any loyalists listening to this programme, I would like them to try and help the family of the Dorian family to try and get that wee girl's body back. This has only happened in recent times. The memories are still there of the people that murdered this wee girl and knows where she's actually buried. And I would love them to come forward and give a body back to the mother and father.
Loyalist paramilitaries have been blamed for Lisa's disappearance and murder. Her family still don't know what happened to her or where her body is. Lisa's mum, Patricia, and sister, Joanne, have been telling me how they never thought they would still be looking for her almost 9 years on.
We didn't actually think it would be this long. We'd still be doing these interviews. Everybody that has children always knows their children are special, but your firstborn is really, really special. And Lisa was my firstborn, and I felt it yesterday when it was my birthday and there was a card missing, you know. It's just different occasions like that.
Nearly 9 years on, when you first realised something had happened to Lisa, all those years ago, did you ever think that you would still be sitting here today looking for those answers?
No, not at all. We thought it would be quite straightforward, you know. Even when the police changed it from a missing person to a murder inquiry, you know, you still thought, well, there was only a handful of people at the party. Surely they'll get something out of somebody. But here we are, nearly 9 years on and no further on.
Joanne, your mummy's saying there, days like birthday, she notices a card's missing on the mantelpiece. Is it the same for you, different days, for different reasons you'll miss Lisa?
Yes, of course. I had a child 3 years ago, and I know I felt it, you know, it was very poignant at that time that I wasn't able to share the birth of my child with Lisa. Lisa loved children. She had a young nephew, Ryan, at the time when she was here, and you know, it is times like that, but it's times when you just get a bit of good news and you want to pick up the phone and tell her. You know, it's times like that when people take it for granted that they can just lift the phone to their sister. You know, I still have two other sisters. But it's times like that when you just want to pick up the phone and speak to her, and she's not here to do that.
And did you think that nearly 9 years later you would still be looking for answers to so many questions?
No, I thought we would have found Lisa by now. I mean, initially I thought Lisa was coming home before it was changed to murder inquiry. I couldn't even, how could you imagine that your sister has been murdered and that someone would hide her body? Now we obviously have come to terms with that she's not coming back, but we really need to find her for our own peace of mind and for Lisa. She does not deserve to be out there with no Christian burial. She doesn't deserve to not be found. You know, Lisa's an innocent victim in whatever has happened to her. And I would just ask anybody who has any information at all to just, you know, look at their own human decency.
You have lost your sister, but how much harder is it day and daily not knowing where she is and not being able to have that focal point, that place to go to grieve?
Well, in these kind of circumstances, the guilt falls back on the family. Why can't we find her? You know, we are the people that should be here for her and should be helping to find her, and we can't find her. You know, there's tremendous guilt on each and every one of us that we could have done something different, we should have done something different. You know, if we had stopped her going down to the caravan that weekend, you know, all the what ifs that you probably most families who have lost any loved one go through. But on a day like her birthday, Christmas, you know, any kind of family occasion, we don't have anywhere to go to feel connected with Lisa. Lisa is out there and we have no idea where she is. You know, we don't have somewhere to go to lay flowers and to feel some sort of connection with her. That has been taken away from us and from Lisa.
You can think all things, but it's as Joanne said, it's what if, what if, what if. And you could drive yourself mad saying what if. You know, we didn't know the crowd she was running about with, so we couldn't even sort of say what they were like. We didn't know them, never seen them. You know, it's just like a nightmare, like you're standing outside a bubble looking in and you just can't get the answers.
Some of the people that we've heard from this week, some of them have been looking for those answers for 40 years.
Well, to be quite honest, I don't think I'll last another 40 years, but I would like to think, you know, that surely we must be able to find her in my lifetime. I don't want to have to leave it where me and her dad has passed away and Joanne and her sister has to pick up the pieces without us. I don't know how the McConvilles managed. There was such a huge family of them, and I don't know how they got through 40 years. I don't think I could. So, and I have every praise for them, and I feel really humble that they actually brought Lisa up in their interview.
Joanne, is that something you've entertained, the idea that, the awful idea that your mummy and daddy would be gone and you would still be looking for Lisa, that even your children would be looking for Lisa?
It's obviously a possibility. As a family, we never give up hope. We never give up hope in the people of Northern Ireland. We never give up hope in the PSNI that Lisa will be found and brought home and given a Christian burial. But yes, no matter when it happens, we'll deal with it. This is what we want and this is what we are asking for. So no matter how awful it may be, it is what we need as a family to be able to come to terms with the loss of Lisa.
Have you given up, I suppose, on justice for Lisa? Do you just want her home?
If we had to choose, it would be Lisa every time. The police deal with the prosecution side of things. And as a family, we are just interested in finding Lisa. That is our main priority.
Yeah, that would be my biggest wish. My only wish at the moment is to find her, you know, and put her to rest where she should be. Not exactly where she should be, because a girl of her age shouldn't be resting in a graveyard, you know, but if only we could find her, that would be my greatest wish. The heartache is just the same as day one, to be honest. I find now there's some people who talk openly about Lisa, you know, if they know us. But people that sort of don't know us, don't know how to approach us by saying anything, you know.
And I dare say the people who have the information don't forget. This can't sit easy with anybody who has information or who has been involved in Lisa's disappearance. If they were involved in Lisa's disappearance, they knew Lisa. They knew what a nice, kind girl she was and that she didn't deserve this. Whatever has happened to her, they have not forgotten. And they are the people we need to get to. They are the people that need to come forward with information.
You are, as a family, confident that there are people out there who can unlock the mysteries here?
Yes. There are people out there who are holding on to this information for whatever reason. But I would just say to those people to just look into their own conscience, look at their own families, look at their own children, and just imagine this happening to them. Someone just disappears and you never, ever, ever get an answer as to what's happened to them. And just imagine it for a second. And that's what we've been going through for 9 years, and some families a lot longer. And nobody deserves to go through what we've been through.
And for anybody who doesn't know Ballyhalbert, just describe the kind of terrain that it is to us and the efforts that both you as a family and the police have undertaken there.
Ballyhalbert Caravan Park, at the time when Lisa went missing, was barren. It wasn't open to the public at that time of year. End of February, it was freezing cold. There was no lights on at night when she apparently walked out of the caravan. She would have been walking out into the pitch black. So our first assumption was she must have fallen, hit her head. She's, you know, the cold has set in. She just hasn't made it through the night. That was our first assumption when we couldn't find Lisa. So we walked for miles, for days and days and days. And I remember at the time we had friends, family. And I just remember it hitting me so many miles into the walk that, you weren't searching for clues. I just remember making the comment, I'm actually looking for my sister's body. You know, and that was very, very difficult before it had turned to a murder investigation, to think that that's what we were walking that land for. There are just vast fields. It's an old airfield with lots of underground bunkers. We have had our own aerial photography done to compare the land. I know the police do that as well. You know, we just feel so helpless.
You were there, not just on those walks and aerial photography. You're pulling up corrugated iron tunnels.
Yeah, I mean, at one stage we were digging, you know, for things that looked like they shouldn't have been there. Maybe she's under here, maybe she's fallen down a ditch. It was horrendous, you know, it feels like a lifetime ago that we were doing that. And obviously the police have gone beyond that, in that they would say they've carried out over 3,500 interviews. They have done aerial searches, they've done land searches, cadaver dogs, they've done water, you know, searches in the water. There are always things going on in the background. They may not be publicised, but, you know, we're always pushing Lisa's case forward, as are friends and family. For example, Lady Sylvia Herman raised Lisa's case in the House of Commons at Prime Minister's Questions just last week, and she asked in... when discussing the Troubles and the people who have been disappeared, that the government do not forget Lisa's case. So we're very heartened by that, that, you know, even over in the Houses of Parliament, Lisa is being mentioned, and that Lady Sylvia carries on fighting our case for us in avenues that we have no access to.
What's your last memory of Lisa?
My last memory is sitting in her house, having a cup of tea and just chatting on the sofa and commenting on her earrings that she was wearing. Just normal sister stuff. There was nothing extraordinary about her. She was just a beautiful girl who loved her family and who just fell in with the wrong crowd. And 9 years on, we're still trying to find out what's happened to her.
What's your last memory of Lisa, Patricia?
It was funny. I was down with... Joanne down at Lisa's house, mm-hmm. and I was making fun of her, sort of saying, oh, that tree looks lovely and all this, and she had actually borrowed it. I ended up having to buy a real tree that year, which I hate because of the needles, and she had borrowed my tree and all the trimmings and everything.
And she'd knock your Christmas decorations?
Yes, she just had it just like we would have had in the house, and she had it perfect sitting in her house. Where my new tree was nothing really, it didn't look anything by comparison, but she was very fun loving. She could have been quite witty with her humour, you know, but no, she was a funny girl, lovely funny girl. If I could take her place, I would. I really would.